Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. We'll circle back to the Texans and the Astros a little bit later on this hour. But we didn't do this earlier this week. I want to throw a bone to the Cougs here. They got Kelvin Sampson locked up for the next, I think, 4 years. Like 4 years, $23.5 million. Really good college basketball money for a head coach right there. That's good to see. We like that. We like Kelvin Sampson here. In fact, Ben, can I acknowledge him for getting that? We're going to acknowledge Kelvin Sampson for getting paid, man.
I'll tell you what, too. It seems like 73. So Kelvin Sampson is 69 years old.
Yep.
Seems like 73 is like the age 31 is for wide receivers.
Yeah.
I think coaches, it's like there's, well, actually, 73 seems to be the upper limit.
Yeah.
There's not really many productive, successful coaches past the age of 73, but there have been a lot there. So I should, like, just whatever peak age is for other athletes, for coaching, 73, or not peak, but like the, like as far as you could stretch it. Quarterbacks, by and large, it's still an exception when you're playing well after 37 or so.
Yeah.
So, but there are a few. I'd see like right a 4-year extension for a guy who'll be 73 or 74 4 years from now. We'll see. I could totally see Kelvin Sampson still wanting to coach another 10 years.
I could too. He does not. He has got more juice than your average 69-year-old. That's
Yeah. Like the smart thing is he controls his environment.
Yep.
Instead of worrying and wringing his hands about kids these days in the NIL and all that, he says, "All right, I'm going to bring in the right kind of guys that I like. They're going to respond to my type of coaching.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find them."
Coach,
and then
the
you end up having a strength in that a lot of guys that might not be 5-star recruits are guys that you've got a team full of guys, though, that buy into the way you coach.
Yes.
And you're not having to shuffle new guys in every single year who are only concerned about how much money they're going to make in the draft or and all this other stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He's turned a weakness into a strength.
No doubt. No doubt. And he's had a good run at a lot of places, and none better than here, where he came within one possession of winning a national championship. They're going to be really good again this year and the year after that and the year after that. And we congratulate Kelvin Sampson on that. And yet I feel like that there's lessons to be imparted on the kids out there. How has he gotten to be so successful and stuck around so long? Certainly winning, being a good teacher, and all those things have a lot to do with it. But when I looked, Seth, at the list of coaches that are ahead of him now, he's now the 8th highest paid coach in college basketball upon signing this deal at $5.8 million a year. And I'm like, oh, wow, who are the 7 that are ahead of him right now? And they are starting at the very top. Bill Self makes almost $9 million a year. And then it's John Calipari of Arkansas, Dan Hurley of UConn, Tom Izzo is 4th, Michigan State, Mick Cronin, UCLA, is 5th, Bruce Pearl at Auburn is 6th, and then Rick Barnes at Tennessee is 7th. And as I'm looking at these names, I'm like, holy crap. And I'll throw Kelvin Sampson in there. This is a petty cast all-star team right here. If you were to build a 6-headed or 8-headed, whatever, Mount Rushmore of the petty cast, college basketball head coaches, I think that's one big thing we've learned in 2025. There may not be a more petty business right now than the college basketball men's head coach.
Except that in some of those guys, it's like as these guys grouse about kids these days, some of them seem like they're made for social media.
Yeah.
Like they're just whining and complaining about their own personal issues. They make it all about themselves.
Yes.
The problem with these kids is they don't have a team attitude like I do.
Yeah.
Because I am awesome at having a team attitude. And like not like these kids that I'm consciously separating myself from. Yeah.
There is one coach who has separated himself from the pack on that, and we'll get to him. But Kelvin Sampson, awesome coach, great teacher, lots of success, and also he, too, can be very petty.
Didn't you try to get a game with Gonzaga in 2021?
Gonzaga. It always burns me up when people say that. Yeah, it's like calling me Kevin. My name is not Kevin. My mother used to say, people would see my name and say, hey, Kevin. And she would say, don't let people call you Kevin. Your name is Kelvin. Make sure they pronounce your name right. So that's why my antennas go up with that. Same with Gonzaga. They were our neighbors. And it's not Spokane, and it's not Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga, and it's Spokane. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I like that.
I would say it's a bad analogy. Like Kevin is like, no, you didn't even read the name.
Omitted a letter.
It should be Kelvin. Yeah. You just got rid of an entire consonant, like a pretty important consonant that sets you apart from a Kevin.
That he took a
Gonzaga,
hard
look. Gonzaga, it's like, it's actually, since we're in the Pacific Northwest, things I've learned recently,
yeah.
It's the Willamette River. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
It's not okay? Willamette. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People used to get offended when, on behalf of Mario Williams, when people said Mario Williams.
Yeah.
Like, no, they just, that's the way they pronounce it in some regions.
Mario
of the
Ellie, too. Just, that would happen.
Yeah,
a lot.
You know what though? I do get offended on Mario Ellie. That just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Mario Williams. It wouldn't bother me. Mario Ellie. Yes, that's an insult.
Okay.
Because that's a mellifluous name, yeah. Mario Ellie.
Yeah. So Kelvin just taking the hard left turn before he even answered whatever the hell the question was very
yeah.
Funny
what was
to me.
The question?
I don't even care. Yeah. So pettiness, kids. Petty pays, and here's why. John Calipari, number two, highest paid head coach in all of college basketball, $8 million. Here's Calipari saying during the season he has fragile players on his team.
And for us to bust through, we're gonna have to beat somebody. We can say what we want. Like I wanted to make sure they weren't happy. We're going to be okay. No. If we won that game, say it. We're in the tournament. If we won that game, we're in the tournament. So it's not okay to say we'll be all right. Now you're going to have to go get somebody else. I didn't want to put that on them because I got some guys a little bit fragile. So I'm having to hold them accountable but keep picking them up.
Yeah. guys are fragile. Yeah, it's just I got little China dolls playing basketball for me.
No, I think Kelvin Sampson, I think honestly, it's for any coach that complains about, oh, the kids these days, or I can't just, for one, like your job is to adapt to changing circumstances. Your
yeah.
job is to coach the kids you have. And I think that Kelvin Sampson has done a brilliant job of it.
I agree.
To maintain the edge that he has and to kind of command the respect that he does.
Yeah.
A lot of people there are a million reasons why Kelvin Sampson shouldn't have had the success he's had at University of Houston.
That's a good way to put it.
Starting with the state of the program when he took it over, whatever recruiting disadvantages they had. Like, he just keeps mowing through all of these supposed barriers in a really impressive
guy
way.
Guy won at a high level in a Group of Five conference and then goes to the Big 12 and wins the Big 12. You know, like, doesn't matter what conference he's in. He just plows right through it.
Do we have more audio?
Oh, my God. Yeah, Seth,
coaches?
I got more. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. No, this is I want the kids to embrace this lesson I'm giving them. Pettiness yeah. pays, man. Kelvin Sampson paid. John Calipari, $8 million. Tom Izzo, been getting paid for years and years. Boy, you want get off my lawn, guy. Check this out.
You play real good, you start. You don't play as good, you work your way back in. It's the American way, except America has gotten soft. But that is the American way. That's the way it works. And so I apologize to nobody for that.
Quit your whining. Quit your whining.
Dude.
Just quit your whining about
it. Cookie cutter,
like, oh, 70,
70-something college basketball coach. America has gotten soft. Yes.
If you think about a lot of these older coaches,
yeah.
And then you think about Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. Yeah. Like, it sounds like Belichick's girlfriend has a thing for older guys. Her previous boyfriend was 60-something.
Yep.
Of all of these older coaches that are in NCAA basketball, which I think I look at Rick Pitino. I think Rick Pitino could actually flip a younger woman. Like, a 35-year-old woman who's definitely, like, isn't into older guys. Rick Pitino is the one guy.
He's probably doing it right as we speak right now.
Compared to, say, Rick Barnes.
No chance.
Where, like, a 35-year-old woman could have a dinner with Rick Pitino and be like, oh, you know what? It turns out I'm into older men.
Yeah, there's something about this guy. Yeah, there's something
Tom
about
Tom Izzo, not so much.
Not so much.
Unless her father was a mafioso.
Yeah.
Then, like he sounds like a mafia guy from the movies, man.
Not so much with Izzo. All right, so Izzo, $6.2 million a year. Kids, are you listening? Mick Cronin, UCLA, makes $6.1 million a year. Largely, I'm guessing, because he's the only one that can bring juice to one of his practices.
But we don't play. We're soft. So don't tell me you want to win. Like, just don't tell me you want to win. So don't tell me you want to win. It's crazy. You know, and it's every day. I'm tired of it. It's every day. I have the most energy of all of anybody at practice every day. I'm upset with everybody in that locker room, my assistant coaches and my players. I mean, I don't need to do anything else. I almost got 500 wins. I'm only 53. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yet I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody in. That's the problem. So what the truth of it has been, it's really hard to coach people that are delusional. The hungry dog gets the bone. We got guys that think they're way better than they are. They're nice kids. They're completely delusional about who they are.
The platitude at the end is what would have gotten me if I was one of the kids on the team.
Honestly, I have no tolerance for coaches whining. Because they're just such hypocrites when they do it. It's like me. I don't know why these guys are so selfish. Let me talk about me. You're whining.
Cronin's,
stop whining.
That is a
hypocritical fat oaf.
That is the fifth highest paid coach in his sport in college basketball. Yeah. Now, Cronin is the gift that keeps on giving. This was him when he was being asked about UCLA being a West Coast team, having to travel to go play all these East Coast teams in the Big Ten. Yeah. This was some awesome whining right here.
So much has been made about you guys going East. You just came back from a prolonged East Coast trip. Yeah. I'm wondering, have you seen anything from the teams that have to come out here and stay out here? Is there any kind of balance with that in terms of the wear and tear and just what you've seen on the court?
Wear and tear on them?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Please tell me that's a joke.
Is it even comparable is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Have you ever looked at the NBA stats and what the gamblers and all those people do on West versus East? Talk to Eric Musselman. Ask him that question. Who coached in the NBA? Good luck, West, going East. Okay? And ask me UCLA's record east of the Mississippi in the last 20 years. Because when I got the job, I looked it up for scheduling purposes. It's under 500, okay? We have to go back four times. Oh, the Big Ten teams get to come to Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees one time a year. They don't even have to switch hotels. We're 12 miles apart. Are you kidding me? Please tell me you're kidding me. Is this a plant? Is this a planet question?
Listen to this guy.
I mean, you cannot be serious with that. And meanwhile, we've seen the Eiffel Tower, or we've seen the Statue of Liberty twice in the last 3 weeks while we were landing. We also saw the Capitol building. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, you can't possibly, and we still got to go back. And then we got to go back for the Big Ten tournament.
Right, we got enough for him. He's whining and whining and whining.
And the question was, is there a concern about you traveling from west to east?
Is it fair, you know, because he's the team traveling east to west versus west to east? Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like, he asked a question. It wasn't like he made a statement or anything.
Yeah.
It was like he was arguing against some kind of statement the dude had asked.
Yeah.
And, like, it sounds like he had a good, he had an answer ready for him.
He's appalled that the question was even asked is what it sounds like. Like, how can you even insinuate?
Yeah.
And this
is it a planted question? What's wrong with you, Mick Cronin? I'm tired of your whining.
This is the big, okay, I make $6.1 million a year. Kids, to be like Mick Cronin is what I would tell you. Whine about everything.
Yeah.
The worst part was how he talks about how he did the research before he took the job.
Right.
You still took the job. Like, you took the job. You have no, especially if you went and researched it and you found out that this is, okay, this is a downside of taking this job.
Yeah.
You give up the right to complain about it when you knowingly inherit it. You know what I mean?
The guy asking the question was totally setting up. Like Mick Cronin should have been grateful that the guy asked the question because he was totally setting up a soapbox that he wanted to stand on. That question, the reporter basically was saying, here's a soapbox. I know you want to make a statement about this. And then the poor dude gets decapitated for it.
Yep. All right, last
this Mick Cronin character. I don't know. Kids, don't emulate that grumpy old man.
Okay.
I'm sorry. He's only 56.
Pick one of the other ones. But yes, here's the last one. Remember when Bruce Pearl was asked if he was panicked?
Is this kind of a flush it, move forward? Is there panic at all? What are you looking at with this?
Man, I'm really glad you asked me that question. We lost to Alabama, Tennessee, and at Texas A&M. Yeah, we're panicked. That's a real softball. We lost to some great teams. We lost the buzzer against Alabama. We had possessions here, so yeah, we're panicked.
Yeah, life lesson, kids. Pettiness pays.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, do you think panicked was panic? Maybe overstating things.
He said, "Is there panic?" Yeah. I guess that's probably where. Like, I don't think he was taking it out as much on that. I could see. I like him kind of standing up and being like, "Yeah, no, there's." You know what he said? We.
Yeah.
He said we.
That's true.
All these clowns talking about me, it disgusts me.
Yeah.
It really disgusts me. You wonder why your team doesn't play like a team, yet you're continually obsessed with why you have it so hard and how hard it is for you. Yeah, I'm having so many flashbacks to fat football coaches telling me to run wind sprints faster.
You're
like,
man,
you
Gino.
Fat piece of crap. Get yourself on the elliptical machine. Step away from a donut every now and then.
Pettiness pay. All I know is these are the highest paid guys in their profession. And this is what they sound like.
Except Calvin Sampson's the one that never really makes it about himself.
He doesn't.
You know?
He can be petty, but it's not directed. I mean, I've been on the business end of pettiness with Calvin Sampson before. Remember when I asked him? What did I ask? Oh, it was when they made the Sweet 16 a few years ago. And they were the clear-cut highest seed remaining in their region. There were four teams left in their region. It was like the 2 seed, which was Houston, and then like the 8, the 10, and the 12. And I was asking him about how you have to maybe guard against complacency or overconfidence because you're clearly the highest seeded team. And he called what I said, what did he call it?
Bugabaloo.
Yeah. Me. I said.
Well, I think you thought he was asking who was asking the question.
When he did the follow up to that, was like, no, I know who you are. Who's that? And I basically said, you know, the internet or whatever.
Folks are saying.
People are saying, man.
I know. Now, as I complain about hypocritical coaches, as you pointed out, these are all very successful coaches.
Yeah.
There's a very fine line between whining and coaching sometimes. And that really good coaches tend to be guys who are never satisfied. And except that what they do is they take action.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, that's the difference. But the annoying part is that they are kind of hardwired to be whiners.
Yep.
It's that they're also really good at least at then doing something about it.
Yep.
But there's it's a very small, a fine line between whining and being a perfectionist and demanding things just right. So sometimes when they're at their most emotional in a press conference, the super whiny part of them comes out.
I absolutely love these bits of audio. When I saw that these are the coaches that were now ahead of Calvin Sampson on the pay scale, and at least half of them had been on the Pettycast before, I'm like, oh, this kid. In June, you know, like in middle of June, like, oh, 9 o'clock, why not? Let's relive the magic of Mick Cronin saying he's the only one bringing juice to UCLA practices. Mm-hmm. And then traveling west to east is some sort of death blow that he studied up on and then still accepted the job at UCLA. Like, come on now, Mick. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to the Texans here. DeMeco gave kind of a state of the Texans roster at the end of his media session yesterday, and he volunteered a couple names, and I'm starting to get into this thing now, sort of keeping tabulations here on who DeMeco Ryans proactively talks about, and there's some new names that are now popping up here that you can start to see that DeMeco is into. So we'll hear from DeMeco. We'll also hear from C.J. Stroud talking about his relationship with his new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, and we'll do that coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday at the end of his media session, just opining on the state of the Texans roster right now.
Yeah, with our roster where we are now, I feel really strong about our roster. I think for me, I always take into account every year, like every player that's on our team. Right, so some people have the adage of, oh, you guys are going all in because you make a certain move here or there. Well, to me, what year aren't you going all in? Because if you're not trying to go all in, whatever that move is, then it's just a disrespect to the organization, a disrespect to all the players who are putting their bodies through a ton of pain, a ton of suffering to go out and play this game. So for me, just respecting the game and what it means to me, every year we're trying to accomplish the goal of winning it all, doing our absolute best to put our team in position to do that. And it starts with Nick Caserio and the job that he does just with scouting talent, being able to acquire guys, getting deals done. There's nobody that cares more about the people in this building than Nick Caserio. So it's just, for me, it's easy. When you're working with a guy like Nick, he makes it easy on me. We see the game the right way. We're both very competitive in what we're doing. So it's, man, it's a great match. And the roster isn't the way it is without Nick's help. So credit to him for that.
Okay. There was another cut. I got pulled the wrong cut. There's another cut where he voluntarily, unprompted, brought up Cade Stover. He brought up Cade Stover a couple times yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my answer to his rhetorical question of what year are you not going all in.
Yeah.
I would have raised my hand and I said 2021 and 2022.
Definitely not going all in.
The very approach that led to D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The reason you're here.
Did you see some of the guys that are on that film you were watching from 2022?
Yeah, yeah. 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 No, that's I think obviously like last year, once you get a team that's good and they're making certain types of moves, it turns into this debate on the semantics of what all in means. You know, the Diggs trade last year felt like an all in move because you're getting this veteran guy who's been super productive and you gave up a draft pick. That's a deal you never would have made in 2022, to your point. Like, you wouldn't go, there was a finishing touches kind of move. I think, I know what D'Amico's saying there, which is just because we're making different types of moves this year doesn't mean that we're not all in on trying to win a Super Bowl this year.
The biggest, and I think that's where sometimes the gap in how we feel as fans and how an NFL team has to operate is that, man, like there are times where teams will go, when it's going all in, what it really means is, are you on the salary cap side of things? Are you just spending credit card spending, like pushing a whole bunch of money off into the future where it's going to come back to bite you at some point, but you just feel like now is the time? And most good organizations that have a lot of success consistently rarely go all in on the contract side of
yes.
things. I think Caserio tries to find a balance where he spends super aggressively in the short term, but then you look at the 2027 salary cap, and despite all these huge contracts they've doled out, in 2027, they still, as of right now, have the sixth most cap space. Mm-hmm. So they've got flexibility, and you can be aggressive selectively where you see fit. But yeah, I don't think for the last 2 years, ever since the free agency splurge in 2024, it feels like, yeah, they're making moves and looking towards, all right, we have a team that can compete for a championship.
Yeah.
There's no, I don't think they're necessarily, you got to have a certain, you got to hold back and you can't go out and get everybody.
Yep.
You know, people want Jalen Ramsey. People want Jair Alexander. All right. Well, Jalen Ramsey comes with a $20 million price tag.
Yeah.
For a guy that's got a, interesting history of is exactly how he treats the teams.
Yeah,
he's
never being happy anywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
Jair Alexander has a reputation for not wanting to play through injuries, yeah. Not just being injured, but all kinds of reports in Green Bay that they got frustrated that he didn't want to play through injuries.
Yep.
So do you want to pay that money for a guy that, you know, might end up being who knows?
Yeah.
You gotta draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. He brought up Nick Caserio unprompted a couple of times in the press conference yesterday. Brought him up in the first answer when they were talking about, or in the answer when D'Amico was asked about Nick Chubb, and just sort of volunteered like, "Hey, thanks to Nick Caserio for always keeping an eye on the roster." And then in that answer right there about what they're sort of looking for, you know, the state of the roster right now, he brought up Nick. We'll have Nick on the show tomorrow at 7:15, but. I think safe to say, you know, 2+ years in, these two guys are working together really, really well right now. You know, seeing things through the same lens. D'Amico brought up a few names, and we don't have this cut, unfortunately. He brought up Cade Stover unprompted a couple of times yesterday. So does Stover wind up on this list? I was just scratching together my list, Seth, of guys that D'Amico brings up as examples of things. And maybe this is a cut above what he was saying about Stover and just things he was seeing on the field at practice.
Stover, he brought up Stover and Bullock, I think at the back end of when he was talking about Jaden Higgins, where just he kind of unprompted brought them up. So it probably wasn't in the cut because of that, because it was too long.
Yeah.
But like he kind of brought him up unprompted as guys that can make a big leap from year one to year two.
Yep. Those are guys that can make a leap. The guys he brings up as sort of like the pillars of leadership in the organization, I feel like. Will Anderson, always. CJ Stroud, always, for obvious reasons, quarterback. Kamari Lassiter gets brought up a lot by D'Amico Ryans, a lot, for a guy who's heading into his second year. And then I think Jalen Petrie's the other one. Those are, I'm still trying to read D'Amico and see like who the favorites are.
Well, yeah.
Those are the favorites, I think.
I think in by way of illustration, he doesn't speak glowingly about every single rookie. I mean, that's where you can take him at face value.
Yes.
You never know what he's going to tell you about injuries or not tell you or whatever. But when it comes to like gushing praise, he doesn't hold back when he feels like it genuinely. When he was asked about Arianta Ursary, he basically said Arianta Ursary he's learning how to be a pro.
Yep.
And that he's made progress and he likes a lot of the things he's working on. But it's not that same level of praise that he has for Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel.
I think it's safe to say he'll never do what Bill O'Brien used to do, which is just trash rookies. You know, like if a guy's struggling, he'll frame it in a way that you know he's struggling. But he's not going to downgrade the guy.
And I guess Jalen Noel, had you mentioned Jalen Noel earlier as a guy that he had? Because he didn't talk about him in yesterday's press conference, but he has this offseason.
Yeah.
In talking about Higgins and Noel as a duo, that they've been both very, very good on just all of the things that they're trying to do to teach him how to operate like NFL players.
Yep. Noel didn't practice yesterday. We'll see if he practices today. He was working out on the side field yesterday. Higgins was amazing yesterday. For those of you just tuning in late, Higgins was great at yesterday's practice. All right, here was CJ Stroud yesterday talking about getting more control over the offense?
Yeah, that'll be between me and Kales. And, you know, that was something that I did want, and I've gotten that now. So, but that takes ownership, you know. We've been able to watch a lot of Brady, you know, and there was clips back in like 2003 or 4 when him and Josh McDaniels, you know, first started. And so, like, it took him time to master it. So it'll take time for me to master fully, but I am buying into it and trying my best to be as great as I can at it. So, it's something that I wanted and I'm getting.
Yeah, and there's a lot, obviously, when it comes to operating like Tom Brady or anybody else like that, when you have more command at the line of scrimmage. But, there's an element of some of the simpler things and just the way they operate, even if CJ weren't audibilizing or anything all that much, even if it was just a very simple system, the stuff they don't do, like the simple hard count, for instance, like all of these things that quarterbacks can do to kind of diagnose what the defense is trying to do, the pre-snap motion, all of these things that are so valuable as a tool to a quarterback that can throw the football, like a really pure passer, they were so primitive in trying to do any of that, or even, you know, they didn't even try to do it a lot of the times. I mean, I guess it's probably hard, too, to work the hard count when you've got an offensive lineman who is acting like it's his first day seeing live fire in the military or something. Just spraying bullets all over the place. Jumpy and jittery as all hell. Good luck running a hard count with this guy. There's some of those little things that aren't even necessarily that complicated, but that you do to help out your quarterback. They haven't done much of that for CJ.
You think so?
Previously.
I'm guessing CJ loves sitting down and watching Brady film. You know, I'm guessing he's...
Well,
he's
and I really liked hearing that they were watching Brady from 2003 and 2004.
Early.
Because that was
career.
When Brady was not developed into the extreme version of what Brady became.
Yep.
That you just don't fast forward. There's no steroids for your football brain that all of a sudden can give you Brady's football IQ.
Yep.
It's a lot that goes into it and a lot that needs to become second nature. And a lot of the things that you're doing as part of your pre-snap process, that it takes time. And you're not going to see that version of you're not going to see Tom Brady, 15th year veteran, and CJ Stroud in his first year in an offense. So I like that they're going back to when, man, Brady was just starting to do a lot of this stuff.
Here's CJ Stroud talking about what he likes about a Nick Caley offense.
Him as a person. I think for me, like, I buy into people. I really don't buy into like system. You know, I kind of have that thing about like life. Is like, you know, it's the people and the relationships that kind of take things and make it rocket ship to the stars. So just him as a person, man, like he's has probably the most juice I've ever seen in my life. Just naturally. I'm a very laid back, chill guy. Except for like when I'm in between the lines, but like he's 6 in the morning, he's up, he's at it. So like that kind of like gets me motivated. And just, you know, how he buys into his players, and you know, he calls me a lot. I don't always answer because he always yelling and stuff, but you know, I appreciate it though, and it's you know, it's been great. You know, he's implementing a lot of things he's done in the past, which is important as well. The system is important, and he's doing a great job. You know, as you guys have seen, you know, we've been able to you know, have a pretty good OTA off-season program. From what you guys can see, and even things that y'all can't see, building that foundation so we can rocket ship once we snap that ball, you know, against LA. So, I love Nick, and he's doing a great job.
I'm tickled by the fact that he doesn't always answer the phone because he's
like,
yelling.
It's probably part of more like TJ's like, it's 4 a.m. in California, Nick. I don't know if you know about time zones or not. I know you were here just last year in LA.
We've talked six times. Right. Yeah. Caley was in LA. You know there's a time difference, right, Nick? All right. You know there's a time. You know, that cut was probably, I don't know, 45 seconds, something like that. And I feel good after listening to that cut, the whole thing about like, okay, these two are getting along. Like, I you know, when you put in a new OC, you know, CJ's going to be here for a long, long time. Caley will see. I want these two to get along. I want this to be a really good relationship. I got more about their relationship out of the first 5 seconds of the other answer that we played, that these two are connecting.
Yeah, that'd be between me and Kales.
Right there. That's good. Kales. He's calling him Kales.
Kales.
Nickname.
Did he have a nickname for Bobby at all?
No, I think it was
they
just
call
Bobby.
Him Wick. They call him John Wick.
Slow,
that would have been a pretty cool nickname
would
to
be,
have.
Slow would be the
slow,
logical
that's
nickname.
That's true. They called him Slow, I
did
think.
They call,
all
I
right.
don't know that
yeah.
CJ ever did, though. I think CJ called him Bobby. He's calling him Kales, man. They've connected. Yeah. They bonded already. Kales. I like it. All right.
Appropriately Southern California, bonding over Cal.
Yeah. That's it, man.
You hippie weirdos. All right, I eat potatoes and I eat red meat.
That's it.
All right?
Meat. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Wednesday. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop. Hey, I saw a player yesterday for another team. Be happy when it comes to negotiating contracts and when it comes to the draft. Be happy that this is the team you root for, the Texans, and it's not this other team where you're about to hear from a player that a lot of people here locally are very familiar with. We will get to that in the final segment and get you set up for In the Loop as well. We'll do that coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. In the Loop coming up here at the top of the hour. They'll jump in on Crosstalk with us here in just a little bit, which, of course, every day is sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. You can text the show 713-572-4610. I'll be out the door at 10 a.m. or 10:01 a.m. heading over to what I'm guessing is going to be, Seth, just looking out the window, I'm guessing is going to be a practice inside the bubble today. Training camp, D'Amico ain't scared of the rain. I'm guessing mandatory mini camp, especially the last one before they head off for their five-week hiatus or whatever it is. There's no real reason to be out there risking some sort of leg injury in mandatory mini camp.
And they probably also, you get a certain level of precision indoors that you don't out in the elements.
Yes.
That they want to work on right now, really nail down the basics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not worried about making them physically tough when they're still trying to learn like their left shoe from their right shoe.
That's right. So we'll talk about that. We'll get you set up. Astros tonight as well. We'll talk about that. Hey, real quick, we didn't get to this audio earlier. I think Shamar Stewart, the first round pick from the Bengals, somebody a lot of folks, certainly you Aggies, very familiar with. Texas A&M Aggie, drafted by the Bengals in the middle of the first round. He is in the middle right now of one of the strangest contract disputes, and it's led to him not participating in rookie minicamp, not participating in OTAs, and now not participating in mandatory minicamp. He's there. He's in the building. He's around the team. He's just not practicing because they are duking it out right now. The Bengals are trying to establish, I guess, a new precedent with their rookies, where they're trying to put in a clause where they can revoke guarantees if a player defaults on the contract in some way, usually injury. They can revoke the guarantees for the rest of the deal. First round picks typically have their full contract in the NFL, all 4 years fully guaranteed. The Bengals are trying to create more latitude to be able to get rid of guarantees if guys get hurt or whatever the case may be. Other teams don't do this. The Bengals have not done this with other first-round picks. This is something new they're trying to do. And Shamar Stewart is not standing for it right now. He's like, no, this was Stewart yesterday throwing shade at a team that he has yet to play a snap for, and he brings up Trey Hendrickson in the process as well.
Like some people say, we all agree Trey will be right, right? But technically, he's still 1% wrong for being under contract. So in my case, I'm 100% right, so it should be a no-brainer. And in Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer too. I mean, he led 17.5 sacks for 2 years back-to-back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that.
Okay, so he's obviously talking about Hendrickson when it comes to the money. Like, Stewart's contract is slotted. He's going to get the money he gets. Where there is latitude to be negotiated are some of the terms and conditions that are non-monetary. And that's what they're at a standstill right now. And Stewart is just out. I mean, he's very vocal
and
about
some of
this.
It's funny because usually when you hear about a rookie with some kind of a holdout, it's where something that it's kind of contentious, or the rookies are trying to get some new guarantee that people haven't gotten before. I want to say Nick Bosa, I think, had a holdout his rookie year, didn't he? Or there was some kind of contention. It's not that uncommon for you to hear about this with various organizations. The fact that it's the Bengals trying to revoke guarantees if a guy has a major injury, that sounds very Bengals-like.
Very Bengals-like.
It really just feels like, nope, we're just going to – you guys have actually something that's really good, and it's a major deal. It's not just some little tweaking of something. That's a major, major thing.
Yeah.
That's – you got drafted. You had no rights, you know, as a where you're going to get drafted or anything. But one of the benefits of being a first-round pick is that you're protected for injury somewhat. So you don't get to negotiate your contract much at all. But we're going to take away one of the biggest rights you have.
And apparently,
like, that's a huge, huge
chunk.
It's
a big one. It's a big one. And Stewart, apparently, from what I've been – I watched some segments about this yesterday on the NFL Network and other places. And there were at least two places that I saw. I guess his agent – I don't know who it is, but he's fairly new. And it's one of those things where
they're trying to bilk him.
Yeah, well, where I think the speculation is that this agent doesn't want to cave because this is one of his first big clients, and he doesn't want to be seen as the caver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy we can bully this guy around and get unprecedented stuff put into these rookie deals. If you were Trey Hendrickson, do you appreciate the support from Shamar Stewart there from the first round rookie, where he's?
Yeah, probably.
I think so too.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily carry the weight that it would from if it were Joe Burrow or something. But
No, and Joe Burrow has been trying to get Trey Hendrickson signed as well. The Bengals are a weird franchise because they had that one off season where they just went spending like very un-Bengal, like signed Hendrickson, signed DJ Reader, signed I think Mike Hilton. I want to say, and they had a bunch of signings and ended up going to the Super Bowl. Like a year or two later, they end up going to the Super Bowl, and it's almost like, well, we didn't win the Super Bowl doing that. Back to being the old Bengals again, you know, that they're jerking around with Trey Hendrickson right now, and they, you know, kind of took forever to get all the other guys sewn up. Other than Burrow, they took care of him. But
Bengals are there's a lot of downsides to the big, big money coming into pro sports now, where you've got basically, it almost feels like private equity companies own a lot of NBA teams. I know it's not quite, but it's, like, it's got become much more corporate.
Yeah.
There's a part of and there's a lot of drawbacks to that. But when it comes to, like, the way the Bengals operate, it's a family business. That's where they derive their income. It's not like they got rich doing something else or what have you.
Mom and pop shop, yes.
And they run it almost like, oh, this is money out of my... But I wanted to get a new Benz next year.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay the football players this.
Right.
And I like, oh, wait, we need a pool house, don't we?
Yeah.
There just always feels very very much like they're just pinching pennies for their own personal good there.
I can't think of a time with the Texans with Nick Caserio as the GM, and obviously the McNairs have been the owners the entire time. The McNairs, I think, if there's contractual issues, they're the least of the worries. Like, and I'm not saying Caserio is a concern. I'm actually saying the opposite of that. Like, I think whatever the GM, whatever the front office says we need in order to keep this player, sign this guy or whatever, I think the McNairs would do. With respect to Caserio, who will join us tomorrow on the show at 7:15 a.m., other than Steven Nelson, who they ended up taking care of to a degree, like they ended up giving Steven Nelson some extra incentives in his deal after he really mocked Nick Caserio. I can't think of a contractual issue that they've had yet with him as the GM.
Well, as far as, I mean, other than guys agitating for new contracts with Steven Nelson and what
have you. That was the one I brought him up, yeah.
Yeah, like the biggest thing with Nick is that, no, he's the exact opposite end of the spectrum. They gave Dameon Pierce more money than guys slotted in his role typically do. They gave Jaden Higgins a fully guaranteed contract. I asked Texans Cap about this. I was like, hey, have you done an article on that actual contract and like why they might have done it? Yeah. And I don't think I can read the response he gave him, but I think it was mostly basically Nick being like, who the bleep cares? Like it would be a short article summary. Nick doesn't give a bleep.
Kind of feels that way.
Now, but this is where I appreciate it, is because forever, I've gotten very frustrated with my brethren, the NFL players and NFLPA, when they'll say, we want guaranteed contracts. We want guaranteed contracts. And I'm like, dude, they don't. Do you guys understand that it's not in the CBA that baseball and basketball players have guaranteed contracts? It's just by precedent. Well, you have to understand. And there are NFL players who have had nearly 100% guaranteed contracts. Yeah. You just have to sign a shorter term deal. Kirk Cousins did it. You know, we had seen other guys get close to or 100% guaranteed contracts. It just has to be a shorter term deal. And Nick basically understands that and has said, yeah, we'll give you guaranteed money, 2-year deal. And the smarter NFL players like Danielle Hunter recognize a good thing when they see it. They say, like, okay, wait a second. This is 100% guaranteed or 95% guaranteed. And in 2 years, I would be a free agent again. Or the Texans are going to just tack another year onto my deal, which is in what ended up happening. Like, yeah, that's how you get guaranteed money in the NFL. You sign a shorter term deal. I think Nick probably appreciates players who appreciate that part of it. Like, all right, if you're a guy who understands that the average per year or the top line number on the contract, it might inflate your ego, but it's not actually the best way to judge a deal. Like, oh, okay, you're operating like an adult now. You understand that the guaranteed money is paramount, and you understand that you're going to have to take fewer years to get it.
I think there's a maturity correlation, Seth, between guys that get contracts like that are okay with contracts like that and the guys they look for that are just all ball kind of guys.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, like, no, because you understand. If you're all wrapped up in I want to be a top five paid wide receiver or whatever it might be, it's actually against your best interest, because that's how teams dupe you into taking less guaranteed money than you could get or what have you.
Yep.
And it also, and the big thing is, you don't want drama on your team. Shorter term contracts with lots of guaranteed money. That's usually what a lot of the disputes are over when guys want extensions, is they want more guaranteed money.
And that's why I brought up this Shamar Stewart quote to pose the contrast that the Texans are. They don't have first round picks sitting there talking to the media about going over chintzy little clauses in the contract. At one point in that press conference, I couldn't find the audio anywhere, but Shamar Stewart said something. It feels like the Bengals are trying to win an argument more than they're trying to win football games.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to win an argument with me. And I think I do feel like that's something that's baked into the Texans culture with Caserio as the GM, which is taking care of guys, and we're not going to get bogged down in contract minutia. I think that's one of the things that makes it an attractive place for guys, especially elite guys, to come play.
So we'll have to ask Nick about our pet theory that there's a correlation between guys who understand the value of short-term guaranteed contracts and a maturity level there.
I think he'd like that question. You know, we ask him questions. Some questions we can tell he loves to sink his teeth into, and in others, you know, he kind of meanders a little bit. I think.
Is there a danger though that ends up being it gets into him and I talking about? Sometimes Nick and I will veer into podcast territory
a little bit,
where it's like, okay, this might not be best for morning drive radio.
We'll see. We'll see. Seth, we started the show talking about risk reward. We will end the show talking about risk reward. That is the risk reward of that question. I think it's a good question. Actually, I think it's a relevant question. By the way, podium today for the Texans. Boy, there is a theme. Quiet. Physical specimens. Nick Chubb, we get our first crack at Nick Chubb at the podium today. Derek Stingley Jr. and Danielle Hunter. I just texted Omar. I'm like, the shortest quotes ever we're going to be getting. We had CJ and D'Amico yesterday, and Kalen Bullock's pretty glib too. And now today we got Nick Chubb. I'm looking forward to hearing from all these guys because, you know, Stingley got the extension this year. Danielle Hunter got the extension this offseason. I think it's the first time we've heard from Danielle Hunter since he got his extension this offseason. And then Nick Chubb. We need to hear from Nick Chubb, newest Texan.
This is me, John Lopez.
John Lopez, Reggie Adetuler here.
Hey, I like that you introduce yourself. That's very good.
Yeah, that's
this
very
is me.
Very polite.
Hello,
yeah.
It's me. Yeah. I have a theory on Danielle Hunter, and maybe Seth can verify. I think he's got a little bit of Andre Johnson in him, in that he doesn't say a lot and he doesn't sound real thrilling, but what the things that he says can be pretty meaty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's a specimen,
yeah,
too.
Fair to, yeah. I think anybody who's like a physically freakish athlete, but that basically like believes actions speak louder than words. Yeah.
When he
I
does
think
say
with Danielle, except the one thing is this. This is where I get it. I don't quite figure this out because I've heard both Sean and what's her name? That little woman who interviews people.
Vanessa Richardson?
And supposedly she was dating Daniel Jones for a while.
Oh, okay. Kay Adams. Sorry, Seth. Both, there's a lot of little women that interview people.
Sean and Kay Adams have both said that they're almost like intimidated standing next
yes,
to Danielle Hunter.
Me and a small girl are very intimidated by
and
Danielle
I feel like I don't, for Danielle, I get none of that imposing vibe off
you're
of him because he's very just. Andre,
yeah, that's right. You're not really there.
One of the happiest moments I've had with Andre or about Andre Johnson was when J.J. Watt told Sean and I last year, like, he gets nervous talking to Andre still.
Yeah.
And he's like, does he even like me? There is an imposing, and it's not like menacing or anything. It's just Andre, there's something about him that's kind of intimidating in that he's so stoic. Mm-hmm. And it you get a little bit nervous
big
around
time.
Him and I'm older than him, but I don't get that with Danielle Hunter necessarily.
Yeah. I don't know. Yep. Danielle Hunter looks like a Terminator.
He looks like he's built in a lab.
Like
no question.
And maybe I had a circumstances of being in the Texans locker room for the first time when I had the opportunity,
sure.
like being around him. I had that feeling. Yeah. I'll say that I had that feeling.
Yeah, man.
But we might just
what.
Apples and oranges here or something.
I can tell you this for a fact. Because I've been around enough guys like this. I think Danielle Hunter's happily married, is he not?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
He's a guy that his entire life is if he's walked into a bar or a party with short sleeves on, he becomes like at an amusement park to women. They're like, even girls that might not even be into guys' bodies as much are like, oh, I just want to touch your arm. Like,
you guys taking a ride
very,
on
very
the Hunter?
Curious. Yes, women get very, very curious about this physique they see in front of them.
Yes.
It's fun to watch. And also maybe stick around to see if something sloughs off.
There you go. You're like, these arms are pretty good over here, too.
You never know.
How you feel about a two-pack?
I have a barrel keg.
You ever seen upper abdominals quite like this?
Yeah. You look like the barrel keg type.
Pony keg.
Yeah, pony keg. Oh, I love this. Over the Coors Light used to have the beer balls. Those were fun.
They come over and talk to old Sethers, and it's like when you go house hunting and you go out of your price range, you know, and you're like, oh, crap, we shouldn't have looked at those expensive houses.
Yeah.
The ones in our price range.
We know we're going to be living with old Sethers.
Yeah. Or maybe there's a greater appreciation for old Sethers because they go to these houses and like I've watched a lot of house hunters and you're like, I want all these things. And then the realtor's like, oh, you do? Yeah. This is the price range. And they're like, actually, old Sethers.
Like,
I like this other house in this more manageable area.
There's old two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bedroom, bathroom Sethers. Yeah.
Good schools, though.
Good schools. All right, boys, what is the question of the day?
Okay, so the other day, Monday, we were talking about Shaq had on a podcast.
Yeah, the big podcast. Yeah. He
big
does
podcast.
A game called BPS.
WPS.
And we
added HPS.
Okay.
And that does stand for black people stuff, white people stuff in this instance.
Okay.
Hispanic people stuff.
What is the most, in your case, WPS thing you do? In our case, it's BPS.
Or any of these
what
things.
What is the most?
I kind of want to hit the whole game.
Where do you want me to start?
I
want
to hit the whole game.
My first concert was John Denver. My favorite sitcom was Three's Company. I have Yacht Rock programmed into my my Sirius XM. I walked around Boston this past week talking about how awesome it was.
You're the AI.
These are very, very white things.
You're the AI.
I'll tell
image
you. I
ChatGPT, give me a white guy. It's a guy in a Queechy Vermont hoodie talking about John Denver. Yeah.
I am single-handedly gentrifying my neighborhood right now as I try to acquire my neighbor's property. And And I'm plotting against a neighbor on my other side who is frankly doing some illegal things on his property that I've alerted the county about.
You want to talk to the manager.
I'll tell you another thing. Don't you dare start some journey up, because you're about to get my rendition of it.
You think I stopped believing?
Yeah. Not this fella. Both thumbs pointed at me.
Oh, man. The thing I learned about Seth in this little segment right here, he's the county Karen going ratting out guys doing things on their property.
On a different level, he's not. It's not. I'm going to alert you to the authorities. I'm going to take your property.
That's not the Karen part.
I will very much virtue signal on social media about how much I care about the downtrodden, while also squeezing them out of my neck. Yes.
There you go.
WPS.
WPS.
Yeah, very good.
This just in. We could keep going if you want us to.
Wait till you hear some of the BPS and HPS.
We can do the whole show on this. I can't wait to talk about this with Nick.
Wait. Yes.
Working construction.
Real quick before we go, though, I want to see, like, because I want to have a cross-cultural moment.
Yeah.
Is there a BPS or HPS thing that you feel like you guys have in tow?
Oh, boy.
Well, you saw mine. You were just talking about it.
Yeah. What?
The beer burro.
Lopez, the accoutrements at a Lopez wedding are my favorite.
I had a very uncomfortable conversation once with a gym owner who is a retired bodybuilder, and he's like a stunt double in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So you're asking if I have a BPS or a HPS.
Yes, sir. It's possible.
Yeah. It was okay. So listen. I've always been popular, more popular than you might think sometimes because of my fruity booty. I got a very good muscular butt, you know? But then I was having this conversation with this gym owner who like started pointing out like, gosh, you know, he's pointing out my triceps and everything. This is back when I was huge and like lifting and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, honestly, and it wasn't because he's a bodybuilder, so he's talking about black guys and white guys and like how physiques kind of can be a little bit. He started pointing out, he's like, I've never seen like the way your triceps insert. I've never seen that on a white guy before. And Gary Walker had told me that once too about my arms. He's like, man, white boys don't usually like that. Like you're yoked up in your triceps. And I started thinking, man, I've got some mysteries in my family tree.
Have you done a 23andMe?
I haven't.
You need to.
But I think I might, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Black people physique, then.
Wish I had known this when I was a player.
There was.
I would have been like, hey, why are you taking me off on third down? Don't you know I'm like 164th?
Right. Hey, coach, can I play corner and wide receiver?
Run stuff or BS? Yeah.
There was something you guys brought up in that segment on Monday that it was a behavioral thing that was initially something you labeled as BPS. I'm like, well, I do that.
Line dancing.
And I think eventually, no, it wasn't line dancing. Mm-hmm. It was eventually something you guys made an EPS, I think, like everybody does.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, though. Mm. It may have been something to do with the way people walk into a room or something like that. I forget.
You know what? There's
was
one
it bringing your own chair?
Bringing your own chair?
No, it wasn't.
Bringing your own chair.
But I do. Oh, like, but we do that. Was that a BPS?
Is that a white person thing?
I don't. I think that might be an everybody thing.
I thought it was a Hispanic thing. To be honest.
Yeah. No. This was a BPS. You guys labeled it a BPS, and then once you talked it through, because I immediately on my walk said, "No, I do that." I almost called in. But I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the segment. But I can't remember what it was. I'll have to go back and listen.
You know what else is a very white person thing I do? I get offended when I hear about white people not using seasoning. Because I'm like, I season the hell out of everything.
Well, that's 164th.
That's right. That's where that's coming from.
164th.
This is one thing we see on social media a lot, and it's always interesting because I think a lot of people, you know, if they don't grow up in like around a lot of different, you know, racial and ethnic groups and everything, like there's a lot of, you'll see things that like people say like, you know, like only black people would understand this, or like they'll say only people in the South understand that this is called a junk drawer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? No. Everybody calls it a junk drawer. Yeah.
Everybody does. All right, crosstalk.
Boots at the pool party?
Cross.
Boots at the beach?
No.
Boots at the beach?
That was that. Boots and jeans at the beach was a Hispanic. That was an HPS. Yeah. No, I'll go back and listen to the segment and find out what it was. Yeah, no, it's all good.
Honestly, there's a lot of, Lopez, correct me if I'm wrong, jeans in a lot of different situations is a very Hispanic thing.
Oh, for sure.
Like standing at line in a 99-degree day at Disney World, I'm like, I hate to I don't want to stereotype here, but
No, you're not.
Yeah. I could not get away with that.
Yeah. No, at all, at all. All right. Okay. We boy, we've eaten into your show.
It's all right.
I knew this.
No, we're gonna keep going. Coward.
Somebody's got to give the hot takes on the running back physiques at minicamp, and that person is me.
Correct.
Oh, so yeah, get out of here.
I got to get up and out of here. Seth, antibodies to you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, antibodies, and man, sweet Caroline to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Jump around.
Oh, dude,
jump around.
I am going to be jamming so much Elton John on the way.
Yeah.
Hey, it's gonna you've be got amazing. Friends in low pace.
That's right, I do.
You know?
I blame it all on my roots, and I showed up in boots. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station, D&M Auto Leasing, bringing you this edition of Crosstalk.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.